Well, I'm a big sports guy. If you know me, then you know that. I'm just built like an athlete, you know? And so I love basketball, right? Basketball was like my first love, and it's also God's favorite sport. I don't know if you knew that. But when I was in high school, I played all 4 years of basketball. That's all I played. I wasn't allowed to play anything else. I only played basketball. One of the years that I was playing, we were up against the number one team in the city. And with less than 20 seconds to go, we were down by one and we had the chance to win. I come down with a rebound and I go coast to coast, okay? Like coast to coast, y'all. Like all up and down the floor. I'm beating everybody down, dribbling, going all the way. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not passing the ball. I'm doing this all on my own, man. This is my time to shine. I drive coast to coast. I go up for the layup. I miss the layup, but I get fouled. Okay, so I'm at the line for two with under 2 seconds to go, okay? And basically, if I hit both, we win the game, right? Like, they're not going to go the length of the court. And, man, they could, but probably not going to happen. So I step up to the line, free throw number one. I shoot, and I miss, okay? So now I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, okay, I got to make the second one. We're going to go to OT. We're going to go to overtime, and we got to scrap this out in overtime. So I step up to the line again, number two, I shoot, and I miss. And that's why I'm a pastor, not in the NBA, okay? But think about this, think about it. I, honest to God, this is what happens. I went to the locker room after the game. I cried my head off, man. I screamed, I shouted, I banged lockers. I was so upset, I was so mad, because I knew that I could make those free throws. Because I had shot, I mean, I've been playing basketball since I was 5 years old. I have shot thousands and thousands of free throws. I have practiced over and over and over again. I have worked hard. I have stayed late. I have got up early. Man, I have worked my tail off. I have worked my butt off trying to grow and get better in my game. And when it was time to make it count, I missed. I gave it my best, and I missed. And I think we can get so caught up in that, right? We can get so caught up in doing our best goal setting, our best planning, our best effort. But if we're not careful, we can find ourselves in a place of emptiness and discontentment. Why? Why? Because eventually, whether it's on the court or in life, our best will eventually fall short. At some point in 2022, y'all, you are going to come up short. You're gonna miss the mark. You don't bat 1,000. You're not gonna go 100%. We're gonna come up short. Paul puts it this way in Romans 3:23. He says, "For all have sinned and fallen what? Short of the glory of God." For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In other words, we all have shot and missed. We've all shot and missed. And that's why Jesus here in John chapter 15 says these words very clear and very direct. I am the vine. Not you, not me. I am. Jesus is. I am the vine. Now let's look at John's gospel for some context. The purpose of John's gospel is that he wants to make Jesus a really, really big deal so that all of his readers will come to know that he is in fact God. He wants his readers to believe that Jesus is God. 7 different times John records Jesus stating these two words, I am. I am. He wants to paint a clear picture to his readers. This is who Jesus is. He is indeed John. So here we go. Jesus, he quotes Jesus saying, I am the bread of life in John 6. I am the light of the world in John 8. I am the door of the sheep in John 10. I am the resurrection and the life in John 11. I am the good shepherd in John 10. I am the way, the truth, and the life in John 14. I am the true vine in John 15. It's as if John is saying here. The Jesus that's here today, the Jesus that's walking with us on earth, this is the same God who revealed himself to Moses with an emphatic, I am, in Exodus chapter 3. And if you know Moses' story, you will know that his decision to acknowledge the great I am, to acknowledge God, led him to live a life that truly counted. So do you want to make it count in 2022? Number one, acknowledge the source. Acknowledge the source. John 15 in verse 1, Jesus says, I am the vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Again in John 15, 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Let me ask you a question. How many times in 2021 did you put yourself in the role that only God can play? How many times last year did I put myself in the role that only the vine could do? How many times did we recognize and operate out of our own desires and our own wants? Here's what I've learned over the years. I've learned that I'm really good at acknowledging self. I'm really good at acknowledging me. I'm really good at acknowledging my own wants. I'm really good at acknowledging my own plans. I'm really good at acknowledging my own desires and my own needs. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, what? Acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Acknowledge God. Honor God. Trust God. Doesn't it seem so simple? Yet how often do we get this out of order? How often do we get this wrong? How often do we start by acknowledging self instead of acknowledging God? And we begin to lean on us. You begin to lean on you. And when you lean on you, well, you look. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15 says this, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. We begin to look foolish. Now, I've worked with teenagers and young adults since I was 20 years old. So I could serve up a buffet of stories and illustrations, right, on this one of how we lean on you, but I'm gonna spare your teen and I'm gonna fillet up my own offspring for you, okay? So I have a five-year-old daughter, okay? Got a five-year-old daughter. She's great. Pray for her. She needs Jesus, okay? And so she's five years old, and we've got this bedtime routine thing going on, okay? So we've trying to implement this little bedtime thing where she's gone about her day, she's in her day clothes, right? And now we've got to switch to PJs, right? We've got to switch to pajama time. We got to get her washed up, got to brush teeth, do all that kind of stuff and get her into bed. And so what I'll do is I'll get her pajamas for her, and I come to her and I go, Zoe, okay, it's time to get in your pajamas. It's time to get in your PJs. And she goes, okay, Dad. And I'm like, okay, come here, let me help you. She's got big bow in her hair, right? Like hair everywhere. She's got stuff wearing, all of that kind of stuff. I'm like, let me help you change. She goes, no, Dad. I got it. No, Dad. I can do it. And she begins to lift up her clothes. Sure, she puts it over her head. And then she can't get her arm through the shirt. She can't get her elbow through. She can't get the shirt out of her bow. It gets all tangled up in her hair and in her bow. And she starts rocking side to side. She starts hitting stuff, hitting the bedpost. She starts slipping on toys, looking like what? A fool. Looking like a fool. And I can't help but think that is exactly how God sees us when we start walking through life and we go, no, God, I got it. No, God, I can figure it out. No, God, I'm gonna do me. No, God, I'm in control. And we're bumping our way through life with a shirt over our head, not knowing where we're headed. If you want true direction for your life, if you want true direction for your 2022, man, it begins with acknowledging God, and not just in some ways, but in all ways. your ways. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Making it count begins with admitting God is God and I'm not. He's the vine and I'm the branch. We trust God with our days, our plans, and ultimately we surrender to his will and not ours. He's the vine, I'm the branch. Turn to your neighbor and say, make it count. Secondly, if we want to make it count in this life, we not only acknowledge the source, we not only acknowledge God, but we join the source. We join the source. We join together with God. John 15, verses 4 and 5, John writes, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I love the way Eugene Peterson translates this in the Message translation. He says, live in me, make your home in me, just as I do in you, in the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine. You can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. I am the vine, you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. In the first 17 verses of John chapter 15, Jesus uses this word abide 11 times. It's not a common word that we say a lot. You'll hear it more around here. But when Jesus begins to repeat himself, I think it's important that we pay attention to what he's trying to say. This word abide carries with it the meaning such as to stay, to dwell, to remain, to endure, to continue. And there's strong language used here by Jesus to indicate what happens when we're not joined together with him. He says, when the branch is separated from the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. Separated, apart from me, you can do nothing. That's pretty strong language. See, Jesus here knows he's about to go to the cross. He knows his physical time on earth is limited. So as a dad implores with his children, as a coach pleads with his team in a gentle yet intense tone, a very direct tone, Jesus' message is abide, remain, dwell, continue. Jesus wants us to know this. That the journey of life only makes sense when joined together with Christ. The journey of life, life's experiences, life's ups and downs, life's successes and sufferings, they only make sense when joined together with Christ. Do you know what happens when you trim a branch from a tree? Any homeowners out there who, you know, you trim trees on the weekend, you're just living it up, you know? High life, man, it's all great, trimming trees. You know what happens when you trim branches from a tree? Well, the leaves fall off, the bark begins to turn pale, and ultimately, the branch what? It dies. There's no more life in it. Jesus is talking about life right here in some of his final moments on earth with his disciples. He's talking about what it means to know and possess true life, what it takes to live a life of significance and purpose. Just a few chapters before in John chapter 10, he says, I have come that you may have life and life more abundantly. I have come so that you can actually make it count in this life here on earth. But here's the tension we live in. I think is the tension in our society and our culture. I think they're anti-abide. Have you noticed? Our society and our culture it's anti-abide. We're living in a post-Christian world. Man, following Jesus, Christianity, it's not the norm, nor is it encouraged. I think some people think John 15:8 can be better read, apart from me, you can be free. Separated from me, you can be liberated. Separated from me, you can be the real you. Apart from me, you can make your own truth. Apart from me, you can find your own way. Again, wisdom literature, Proverbs 16 tells us this. There's a way that looks harmless enough. Look again. It leads straight to hell. There's a way that looks harmless enough, and in the end, its end is destruction. You know what the opposite of abide is? The opposite of abide is to reject, to run away, to abandon. Watch this, to cut out. Just cut away from that vine and be your own branch. Just cut away from it and do your own thing. Just cut away from it and you can be the real you. Some might say that that's brave. Some might say that that's intellectually honest, courageous even, to walk away from the faith. Society might say it leads to true discovery when Proverbs tells us its end is destruction. I'm not sure where each and every person in this room is on your journey of life, on your journey with Christ, but maybe this is you. Man, maybe you're in here and you're going, man, all of last year, maybe all the years prior to this year, I have rejected the truth. I have rejected the vine. I have tried to be my own branch. I've tried to be my own vine. Maybe you have abandoned the faith and went your own way. Maybe you've hardened your heart towards God because of personal hardships and sufferings. Maybe you feel like God has abandoned you. But the truth is, at some point or another, we all have walked away from the truth. And at some point, all of us have rejected truth. At some point, we all have turned our back on God. The Apostle Paul helps us understand our sin problem, but he also helps us understand our solution. He kind of puts John chapter 15 in a way that we can understand and digest into our spirit. Here's what he writes in Ephesians chapter 2 to the church at Ephesus. He says, it wasn't so long ago that you were mired in that old stagnant life of sin. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief and then exhaled disobedience. We all did it, he says. All of us doing what we felt like doing when we felt like doing it. All of us in the same boat. It's a wonder God didn't lose his temper and do away with the whole lot of us. No, instead, check this out, immense in mercy and with an incredible love, he embraced us. How awesome is that? He took our sin-dead lives and made us alive in Christ. He did all of this on his own with no help from us. Then he picked us up and set us down in highest heaven in company with Jesus, our Messiah. Now God has us where he wants us with all the time in this world and the next to shower grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus. Saving is all his idea and all his work. All we do is trust him enough to let him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. We don't play the major role. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we'd done the whole thing. No, we neither make nor save ourselves. God does both the making and the saving. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to what, church? Join him. To join him in the work he does, the good work he has gotten ready for us to do, work we had better be doing. Join Jesus, join the source. Before you join CrossFit this year, join Jesus. Before you join Gold's Gym this year, join Jesus. Before you join your next yoga or Pilates class, join Jesus. Before you join the country club, join Jesus. Acknowledge him and then join him. This is how you make every single moment in this life count. It's how you make it count. How would you evaluate your 2021? Was it great? Was it bad? Was it horrible? Was it a mess? You feel like it was miss after miss. You feel like you shot so many times, man, and you just came up short. Jesus says, join me, abide in me, and I can make all things, the good, the bad, the ugly, man, work in your life for good. What's your vision for 2022? What's your vision personally? What's your vision for your family? Do you got big plans? Is it gonna be perfect? Do you have resolutions? All the stuff that you're going to do, Jesus says, join me. And I promise, guys, you will watch Ephesians 3:20 come to life, man. God can do exceedingly, abundantly more than you can ask, think, or imagine. This is where we begin to see all of our mistakes and all of our misses become messages and stories for God's glory. And this could be the difference maker in your 2022.